The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called a twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hand the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of Christ.
As you remain standing, let's pray together. Come, Holy Spirit, illumine our hearts and our minds, for we would see Jesus and be nourished by his word. For we pray it in his name. Amen. This week I learned something new. I learned that today is sometimes called Low Sunday. The Sunday after Easter, Easter being the high Sunday, the Sunday after being the low Sunday, where the celebration apparently has faded a bit, maybe attendance dips, and so someone somewhere decided to call it Low Sunday, and it stuck. Low. Hello. I think low is actually a good word to describe how the disciples are feeling. prior to Jesus appearing to them. Jesus has been crucified. The disciples had deserted him. They're hiding behind locked doors. They're afraid of those who had killed Jesus. They're doubtful and unsure of what comes next. And these are the same disciples that will become the apostles, the ones sent by Jesus to carry on the work of Jesus. And today we're starting a series that is going to look at how Jesus prepares his disciples in those 40 days in his resurrection appearances. They're feeling low. There have been whispers of resurrection. Andrew and Peter have seen an empty grave. Mary is the only one so far who has actually seen Jesus, but now Jesus actually shows up in their meeting. He stands among them, these disciples who deserted, and he doesn't shame them. He doesn't lecture them. He simply says, "Peace be with you." And before he gives them anything to do or to get busy with, he gives them something to receive. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That's the first command of the risen Jesus. It's not a suggestion. It is a command, an order. Receive the Holy Spirit. And that matters because we often think of Christian mission as something that we do for God. But Jesus begins somewhere else. Before doing, there is a receiving. Before mission, there is a gift. Before action, there is the Spirit. In other words, the primary agent in God's mission is not us. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God Himself. So who is the Holy Spirit? Not an impersonal force like in Star Wars, as in "May the Force be with you." Not some vague spiritual energy, not a something, but a someone, a person. The third person of the Trinity who brings God's presence and power into our lives and into the world. And while Jesus gives all kinds of gifts in his resurrection appearances, and while the Spirit also gives spiritual gifts to Jesus' followers, the greatest gift is the Spirit himself. The command to receive the Spirit is accompanied by an action. Did you notice that? Jesus breathed on them. What's going on there? This is a preview of Pentecost. Pentecost has not yet happened, but Jesus breathes on them, and this is a deliberate echo of Genesis, where in Genesis chapter 2, God forms Adam from the dust, but what makes him alive is the fact that God breathes on him, and he becomes a living being. And so when Jesus breathes on his disciples, he's doing something profound and symbolic that points to new creation. Just as God breathed on Adam in the first creation, so the Son of God breathes on his disciples, signaling the arrival of the new creation. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, something entirely new has begun. The Spirit is given to bring life where there was death, to draw us into God's new creation. As Paul said, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And this helps us understand what it actually means to be a Christian. You see, a lot of people think that Christianity is about being a good moral person. Go to church, even on low Sunday, help others, avoid bad behavior. And those things aren't bad. In fact, being part of a church community is good. Trying to live in line with the moral fabric of the world is good, but they're not the heart of Christianity. The heart of Christianity is this, that God's kingdom has come near in Jesus. He is renewing all things. And his goal for your life is not to make you a better version of your old self, but to make you an entirely new person in relationship with him. See, that's what happens when somebody believes in Jesus, not just intellectually, but personally, staking their life on him. What happens is your old self dies with him. Your sin is forgiven. And because he was raised, you too are raised as a new creation. Just as C.S. Lewis put it, he said, God became man not simply to produce better people of the old kind, but to produce a new kind of people. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. New creation. But there's a tension. If we're new creations, why doesn't it always feel like it? We still struggle. We still have fear, like the disciples. We still have doubts, like Thomas. We wrestle with old habits and patterns. And sometimes we interpret that fact as evidence that nothing has really changed, that we're not actually new creations in Christ. But that's not the case. Think of it like this. Imagine a child is adopted out of a difficult home. Everything changes for that child. They have a new family, a new name, a new identity. They are fully and truly part of this new family. But on the first night, they still hide food under their pillow. They flinch at raised voices. They struggle to trust. Why is that? I mean, their identity has changed. They've been legally adopted into a new family. But the thing is, their instincts haven't yet caught up to the new reality. Over time, as they experience love again and again, as they learn to open themselves and trust, things will begin to shift. Those instincts rooted in an old situation of fear don't just vanish overnight, but over time they lose their power as the child lives into their new identity. And that's what it's like for us as Christians. In Christ, you are a new creation, and yet at the same time, you're learning to live into that new reality. And you're also doing it in the midst of the old creation. And so we have tension. Our instincts, our habits, our systems haven't yet fully caught up to what God has already accomplished. And that's exactly why Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit. Because he knows his disciples. He knows us. He knows our weaknesses and our doubts. And he draws near to us, not to give us more to do first, but to give us everything we need, a power beyond ourselves. Because the Spirit is the only one who can form this new life into us, slowly and faithfully over time as we trust and obey Jesus. And in that process of trusting and obeying Jesus, we're not just focusing on improving the old self, but becoming the entirely new self that we already are in Christ. New creation. Baptism is the sacrament of new life. The sacrament of new creation. It's a sign that points to the new life available in Jesus Christ. And yet, as everyone who's been baptized knows, baptism is not a magic bullet. It doesn't make all your problems go away. It doesn't instantly resolve all your character flaws. Baptism signifies promises. First, the promises of God to us. The God who is bringing his new creation to birth and to bear in the world. And it lays out our answering promises, not to be perfect or flawless, but to give ourselves to Jesus as his disciples. To renounce that which is not from him and to commit ourselves to that which is of him, to his reign, to his kingdom. And as we'll see in the liturgy later, God helping us. And this is a struggle. The Christian life is a struggle. In fact, theologian David Yeago sums up the Christian life as the struggle to receive what has been poured out from us from the first. Did you catch that? The whole of the Christian life is the struggle to receive what has already been poured out on us from the first. It's the struggle to live into the fullness of our baptismal identity and inheritance, that we are, in fact, new creations in Christ. It's a struggle, but it's not a solo struggle. We're not alone in the journey. First, he's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit, which means that God is always with us, even when we don't feel it. Even in the midst of sleepless nights and work stress and the franticness of city life, God is with us. That truth remains. But secondly, we have each other. Baptism is a sign of someone's incorporation into the new and renewed community of God, the church. We're in this together. And just as the disciples went out to Thomas, in his low moments, in his moments of despair and doubt, they go to him and they tell him, "We've seen the Lord." So we can do that for each other. We can point one another back to Jesus. We can tell each other how we see Jesus bringing new creation in the midst of the old. And so on this low Sunday, as we celebrate baptism, remember this. The risen Jesus comes to people just like the disciples and just like us, afraid, doubtful, unsure, and he doesn't begin with demands, he begins with gift. Receive the Holy Spirit. Because you are not called to power your own transformation, you are not called to power the transformation of the world, you are called to receive the life of God himself, the Spirit who is making all things new, including us. Amen. Amen.
You've just listened to a podcast from Little Trinity Church in Toronto. Please check out our website at www.littletrinity.org to find out more about our ministries and services.